You're listening to On the Point.
On the Point with Greg C. Truax.
Here's Greg.
Hello and welcome back to On the Point right here on WHBO AM 1040 from downtown Tampa. I'm with my able producer, Adam Greilich. This is Greg C. Truax. Up next is Lisa Miller of Lisa Miller Associates. Lisa's going to talk to us about the insurance market, and we can't listen to a TV broadcast or a radio broadcast or read online in a newspaper that about the current insurance situation in Florida. Lisa is an insurance advisor. She's the Florida's former deputy insurance commissioner. She works with consumers, insurance companies, adjusters, lawyers, contractors, and others involved in the homeowners insurance arena, and she has some 30 years of experience, and she's frequently quoted in the media and asked to educate people on all things insurance. She's coming to us today from Tallahassee. She has a bachelor's degree and a master's degree from Florida State University. She's a staunch advocate for animal rescue. Lisa is the CEO of Lisa Miller and Associates. She has a very interesting newsletter. It comes out every couple of weeks that I subscribe to now. And you can go to her website, lisamillerassociates.com, and sign up for the newsletter. Lisa, welcome to On the Point.
What a privilege to talk with you today, Greg. Thank you for the invitation.
Lisa, we have had some, as we all know, the legislature passed some laws having to do with homeowners insurance. Maybe you could background us on what those laws are intended to do and where we are in implementing those.
Great question, Greg. If you think about the Florida insurance market in the property insurance homeowner space,
right,
there's about 7.5 million policyholders. Florida has about 21 million people, somewhere in that range. So you figure 2.5-3 people per home. And so of that, we have Citizens Property Insurance that we've seen in the news. That's the government, our insurance company. We as taxpayers stand behind that company, all of us, if something terrible were to happen. They have about 1.4 million, 3 to 4 million, close to 1.5 million of those policies. The other 6 million are written by somewhere between 40 and 50 insurance companies that are names that you don't see on television, but they have anywhere from 100,000 to 300,000 or 400,000 policies. We've spread our risk among those companies. And over the years, many of them have been in business since the 04 and 05 storms. For those of you that are your listeners that have been in Florida a long time, you saw how Florida was battered with, you know, 8 storms, 4 in 2004 and 4 in 2005. And a lot of the companies started after that time. Many are headquartered in the Tampa Bay area. Names that you're familiar with, you know, American Integrity Insurance Company, Tower Hill Insurance Company, Security First Insurance Company, Heritage, I could go on. And these are companies that are headquartered in Florida. They employ people in Florida. And they've had a tremendous positive response to people that needed them after Hurricane Ian and the claims involved in Hurricane Ian. So about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there was a change in the patterns of the lawsuits that were filed.
Okay.
There was just a couple of firms that figured out there were some loopholes in our laws that allowed some of the lawyers what the governor called frivolous lawsuits. He called them billboard lawyers, and he championed initiatives and encouraged the legislature to change those loopholes, eliminate those loopholes, to rebalance our legal system in Florida. And, you know, finally, as a background, Florida, it was reported in 2021 by our insurance commissioner that Florida has about 8% of all the property insurance claims ever filed in the United States annually, but we had almost 80% of all the lawsuits in the United States. And that one statistic, 8% of all the property insurance claims filed in the entire 50 states, But 80% of all the lawsuits filed in property insurance were filed in Florida. And that one statistic was, I guess, medicine enough to get the legislature to pass some laws to rebalance our legal system, Greg. So we're on the right trajectory, first starting with litigation and getting that in the right path, if that's helpful.
So is it going to take a while, Lisa, the new laws to take effect? I guess people, as policies renew, will they fall under that new law?
So, yes, as policies renew, the laws took effect. We had one that took effect in December, another one that took effect in May.
Okay.
And so as policies renew, they'll come under those new laws. But it doesn't mean that an insurance consumer can't dispute what an insurance company tells them in terms of a claim or can't have a fight with their insurance company. It simply means that there are other ways to work out these disputes. And Greg, you know, if you think about it, when we don't agree with anything that we buy, a refrigerator or a car, we don't typically call a lawyer the day after the disagreement. And that was what was happening.
Okay.
And so now there are alternative dispute processes in place. The state has a free mediation program that's very successful, about a 90% success rate. There's arbitration, there's appraisal, there's all these other types of dispute resolution so that we don't necessarily have to call a lawyer right away. You can always do that, but you certainly don't have to do it right away. And so these new laws are going to take effect not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, in terms of the effectiveness of reducing some of our, what I call the hockey stick of insurance prices that keep going up, up, up.
Right.
But we'll see them leveling off, and I believe that we'll see that in the next 12 to 18 months. I don't think the shocking increases that we've seen the past 2 years will continue. They'll go up slightly more, and then we're going to start seeing them level off. So that's some good news as we head into the 2024.
Lisa, if you go back to Donna in 1960, I was a kid in St. Petersburg, we had about 5 million people, if I've got my numbers right. And then Ian, in 2022, we had 22 million people in Florida. So we've got more people and more property now exposed than we did in 1960.
So it's interesting you say that. I did a podcast with two scientists. Your viewers can listen to my podcast. This one was about a couple months ago.
And where would they go for that podcast, Lisa? Where would they go for that?
They would go to www.lisamillerassociates.com and just click on News and Podcast.
Okay.
www.lisamillerassociates.com and click on News and Podcast. And Dr. David Pravat of the University of Florida talked about the fact that he believes the fact that we are building more in vulnerable areas, that we have more dense populations, homes closer together, all the things that we know intuitively are happening in Florida, that is exacerbating, increasing the amount of claim activity and the damages that occur with the storms that are happening. So when you combine the severe weather, you know, you hear that Broward County had 40 inches of flood in 2 days. If you were around in 1960, you didn't hear about that, did you, Greg?
No.
So the combination of us building in areas that we probably shouldn't be, that we are building in more dense areas because people are flocking to Florida and the weather is more severe, increases the risk of loss for insurance companies, and they price for that. And, you know, that's what they do is they actuarially, with all these great mathematicians, come up with what the rate should be for the risk they're insuring. And I think the reality has set in that between the weather, which we can do nothing about, the litigation, which we've worked on a lot, this legislature and governor have, and then there's a third piece called reinsurance, and I can tell you a little bit more about that.
Okay, what about reinsurance?
So for about 40 cents of every dollar that we as Floridians pay, 35 to 40 cents, that money goes to what's called reinsurance, which is insurance for insurance companies. And every insurance company by law is required to have this backstop so that they are able to pay their claims if a significant storm happens like Ian. And reinsurance companies are headquartered around the world. They're in London, and like you've heard Lloyd's of London, Switzerland, you've heard of Swiss Re, Munich Re in Germany. You have several in Bermuda. And these are worldwide investors that pool their money and support property insurance companies around the country, around the globe. So if you take every dollar of premium that we pay, about 40 cents of that is paid to backstop our insurance companies that insure our properties. And what we're trying to talk about, and I'm so glad to be on your show, is how do we reduce those costs? They're not regulated. These are worldwide.
We've got about a minute left, Lisa. Please continue.
Sure. So how do we reduce those costs? And we hope that will be the focus of the legislature in 2024, that we can reduce that 40 cents to maybe 30 cents or 25 cents, which would help slow down these rate increases.
Any final thought in the last 20 seconds we have?
I want your listeners to know their home. If they've got jalousy windows, they're beautiful, but get them replaced. If they've got an old roof that's 10, 11, 12 years old, get it replaced. Don't wait for a storm to take it off. And finally, know your coverage. Call your insurance agent right now. Find out what you have. Don't wait for the claim, and you don't know.
Some good thoughts from Lisa Miller, who is the CEO of Lisa Miller & Associates in Tallahassee. LisaMillerAssociates.com. Thank you for joining us today on The Point.
Thank you for having me, Greg.